Welcome to the Navigation Church podcast, featuring practical and encouraging weekly messages from one of our pastors or featured guests. Make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. Every message is committed to helping you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's today's message with Pastor David Amston.
Welcome to Navigation Church. We're getting kicked off in a brand new conversation, saying the five P's. It is the building blocks for our spiritual growth. We are talking about five P's over the next 4 weeks. You do the math, figure it out. We'll get it done. A couple things I want to make sure just to highlight to everybody. If you do not have our app, one of the great things to download our app is, number one, you can see announcements, push notifications, you can see schedules coming up, you can go back and rewatch sermons, but then also, like on a day like this, you can have our notes for today's sermon. So if you want to download the app, you can find today's sermon notes on it. But this is a conversation that we believe is important to have because a gentleman by the name of Andy Stanley wrote a book years ago called Deep and Wide. And he said as he looked back in time over his years of ministry, there were five distinguishable marks that he could identify to someone who grew in their relationship with Christ. And how many would like to be able to, ahead of time, know what people looked at backwards in time to become successful? So I'm going to ask that again because no one's listening to me. Ready for this? Ready for this? How many would like, ahead of time, to know what most people know after time, so they became successful during that time? Yeah, so that's what we're going to do today. If you're excited about having this conversation, put your hands together and let's get us started. Welcome to week number one of Five P's. Today, it is about practical application. So every week that we have these conversations, I'm going to have a little tool that I want to show you, because these are the building blocks of our spiritual life. And if you don't know this, I just want to say this for your memory. A gentleman by the name of Andy Stanley wrote a book called Deep and Wide, and over time, he was able to identify five distinguishing marks of someone who grew in their faith. So we decided to, ahead of time, look at these five marks and implement them in our life. And the first one I want to talk to you about is a paintbrush. Everyone say paintbrush. Those watching online, it's exactly what it looks like. It's a paintbrush. So when it comes to the Bible, here's my summary, and then I want to kind of unpack this for a second. If you were to ever look at a can of paint, how many have ever opened up a can of paint after they mixed it all up and you'd picked your swatch that you'd been putting up against the wall, and you open it up and that can of paint, you looked inside of it and you're like, boy, that is a pretty color. Yeah. So the fact is that paint still had no value because it wasn't applied to anything. The paint had potential, but you couldn't see the value of the paint till you applied it to something. The Bible is the exact same way. We read the Bible and we read things in Proverbs, and we're like, wow, that is really smart thinking. We read things that Jesus said, and we're like, man, I wish I could live like that. And as long as we leave the paint of the Bible inside the pages, you don't see its value. But when you see the value of the Bible is when you practically apply it to your life. And so today, one of the distinguishing marks of someone who grows in their faith is someone who practically applies the Bible to their life. But here's why I don't think many of us do it, is because, have you ever had this at your house? Now, I have four kids, and we jokingly say that my van is the work van, because it's just kids in, kids out. It's nothing different than drywall, 2x4s, or lumber, except they have a heartbeat, right? So when they get in from soccer practice and pull off their shoes and those tiny little black dots that are rubber get everywhere, I don't care, it's a work van. I wanted to think that my house was sacred, but it's not. I have four kids. It's a workhouse. How many have nicks in their walls, cracks in doors, things that are broken, and you just don't know how or why? It's a working house. But then here's what we do. We go down in the basement, because 10 years ago when the house was built or we remodeled, we had a can of paint in the basement, and we pulled this paint up and we wrote on it, living room wall. Yes. Right? So we don't have a shaker, so we do it at our house, right? You shake it up. You start opening, and when you open it, there's that crusty film around the side. Then let's be honest, we all, It is satisfying. You peel it off. It feels good to have that there. And then you take your paintbrush, you dip it in, and then you go through and you start what?
Patching.
Touching up,
yeah.
Right? You start patching it. Have you ever, an hour later, looked and went, that's where I touched up, that's where I touched up, that's where I touched up, that's where I touched up? Right? Because it's obvious, because of the tone, the color change and everything, it's obvious that it's changed. And I think we do the same thing with our spiritual life. We open up the Bible when there's a crack, and we try to fill that little crack in.
Yeah.
And then we look back and we go, man, that doesn't match the rest of the house. Here's what you should do. Paint the whole house. Paint the whole house. Paint the whole wall. Paint the whole situation. We always focus on our little problems and we're thinking God will take care of that. No, no, no. What God wants us is to apply all of it to our life.
Yes.
And then we look back and we go, God, well, that didn't work. Well, you didn't use the paint the way that it was meant to. Or here's what we do. You ever done this? You take the paint and you try to add like a little white to it or a little water to it. Because the best thing to do is to water down the word than let it actually have application in your life. So today, we need to talk about practical application. And in order to do that, I'm going to throw out this phrase, throw out this thought, throw out this sentence that you may love or hate, but it's the fact that when it came to Jesus, I don't think Jesus came here to teach us theology. I think Jesus came here to teach us practical living. I know you want to say amen, but there's some of you in here, and I'm not sure about that. Keep in mind, Jesus came to do more than one thing. By the way, I need you to say amen on that one. Because Jesus had the conversation with the Pharisees. Jesus laid out new laws. Jesus did a lot of things. But I want to show you how practical he is when it comes to his teaching. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. If you have our app, you can download that. For those watching online, take a look at the notes provided. Because we're going to jump into Matthew 7. And Matthew 7 starts with therefore. Everyone, stop looking at your book. Stop reading the PowerPoint. Stop looking at your notes. We've gone too far because we just hit a word called therefore in the Bible. And the moment you hit the word therefore, you have to figure out, therefore, as I keep reading, what is it based off of? So ready for this. In the next 6 minutes, I'm going to give you the full history of Jesus. Pretty exciting, I know. Jesus was born to a virgin. We know that. Why? Because the prophet Isaiah told us that there would be a virgin that was born. Then we don't hear anything about Jesus till day 8. Why on day 8? Because according to Jewish law, that's when you took your sons to be circumcised at the temple. And we see that. Then nothing for 13 years. Am I the only one curious how Jesus played with all the other little boys and girls? Am I the only one curious if he ever talked back to mom and dad? Am I the only one curious if every morning he woke up and made his bed and actually carried his dishes over to the sink and didn't just stack them on top of each other so the new plates are dirty on top and bottom, which is just madness, but actually rinse the sucker off before putting it in the side, or straight into, God forbid, straight into the dishwasher? Do the work yourself. Okay, I got to take a breath. I have questions like this, but guess what? In the Bible, it doesn't matter, because at the age of 13, this is when kids would go through their bar mitzvah. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law. So why do these age gaps don't matter? Because there was nothing to fulfill. But then you saw Jesus sitting in the temple, not with his dad, the contractor, but his father, the theologian. You remember I said he didn't come, but he actually did come. So he's sitting in the theologian, and he's wowing all of the Pharisees, all of the teachers, all the Sadducees. He's wowing these people with his mind. And the reason that was necessary for us to know is Jesus fulfilled his bar mitzvah. He knew the Torah. Not only did he know the Torah, he knew it better than anyone else. And then nothing. By the way, during this time period, there's a most likely that his earthly father, Joseph, passed away. How did that happen? When did that happen? What did Jesus do and not do? What did he know? I have all these questions, but it doesn't matter. Because at the age 30, in the Jewish tradition, the father would take the son, and just quick summary, he would walk down the streets and he would say something like this: "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. He's been studying the family business for 17 years after passing his bar mitzvah at 13 years old, and this boy's ready to take over the family business." And so there'd be this huge celebration in the Jewish community, this wehas and all these other fancy words. The boy became a man, and the man's ready to do dad's work. And we see God walk Jesus down a street and say the same thing, except his street was water baptism. And as he's going to get baptized, the heavens open up, and what did the father say? "This is my son in whom dad just walked him down the street." He didn't say that he was starting the contracting business. He started his theology business. He started the faith. He started this movement. And dad was there to go, "This is my boy. He's been trained up. Now listen to what he has to say." Because the early years doesn't matter. He wasn't equipped. And so now Jesus, ready to start his ministry, goes into the wilderness, fasts for 30 days, goes mano a mano with Satan. Comes back out of that, and this is where in Matthew 5, we're going to see that he starts a Sermon on the Mount. Most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached. There is debate on, was this the one sermon he did, or was this an actual collection, because this is what he consistently said everywhere. Here's what I know: this is recorded as his first sermon, and I'm fine with that. And the very first thing he does for us in Matthew chapter 5, he goes, "Let me tell you what your attitudes need to be like. How you need to behave. And by the way, blessed are you poor in spirit." Guess what? You're going to receive the kingdom of God. And by the way, it's okay to be poor. And all the poor people sitting around, they're going, "Man, all we are is poor. Like, we so broke, we broke. You know, like there's, we poor. Like, we can't afford the second O. Like, we are just, we, I like what this guy's saying all the time." But then he eventually gets this thing about merciful. Because by the way, blessed are the merciful, because they're going to be able to give to the people that are poor. And he starts laying out these eight steps in the Beatitudes, which, by the way, we believe here at Navigation Church, this is actually the system, this is the process, this is the journey that every Christian will go on. You should get to the point where you recognize your depravity. You should get to the point where you mourn for that. You should get to the point that you hunger and thirst for something new, but then when you hunger and thirst for something new, you look to mercy someone else. Like, it's just an amazing teaching that Jesus does. And then he goes on and he says, "Listen, while I'm telling you about this new way to live, you've heard it said before that to murder someone is to grab a knife and stick it in them." By the way, this is me summarizing, okay? Right. "But you've heard murder said this before, but I'm telling you now my new definition of murder, that if you use your tongue as a sword, it's just like you've killed them. Oh, and by the way, practically talking, I need to talk to you about adultery. See, you've heard it said before that if he and if she, all of a sudden, now that's adultery. I'm just letting you know, if you look in your eye upon her with lust, you've already done it in your heart. That's what this is. Amen. Oh, and by the way, I need to talk to you about judging." And everyone's like looking around, because at this point, the Israelites, or the Jewish people here, they were actually proud of how judgmental they were, especially against those, you know, Samaritans, especially against the Romans. Oh, and by the way, I'll bring those up in a second, that if someone offends you, give them the other cheek for them to hit. And if they take your robe, don't you like hold it? You actually offer sandals too. Like, Jesus started going in all these different areas and says, "Listen, you are supposed to judge, but just be aware the way that you judge is going to be the same way you get judged back." So right now, if you're sitting in here and you're willing to make a quick decision with very little information and pass judgment, let's just say, I don't know, on social media, don't be surprised in your personal life if someone hears one thing about you and goes quick to judge you and moves to an opinion about who you are. You're not allowed to get mad at that, because that's the way you judge. Right? And so Jesus started going through all these different things of how to live practically, murder, relationally, what work looks like. And he went through not just chapter 5, not through chapter 6, all the way halfway through chapter 7. And then Jesus says, "Therefore." Okay, so now Here's the mindset that you've been sitting here listening. I am trying to tell you, when it comes to how you live your life, I'm giving, or say it this way, Jesus was giving a whole new perspective on how to do this. And he said, now I've laid it all out there. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, ready for this, and puts them into practice, practically applying the teachings to their life. Wait a second, I can't look at her anymore. I have to apply like that. Wait a second, I can't talk like that anymore. I have to talk like that. Hang on a second. I can't respond like that anymore. I can't think like that anymore. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, anyone who puts these words into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So now you have to decide which of these two people you're going to be when you come to church, when you read your Bible, when you do your devotions, when you listen to a sermon. You are going to be one of two people in this world. And here's what it is. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because its foundations was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, this is the second different people, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practically apply what the gospel is saying in their life, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. When the rain came down, the stream rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And you know what? Let's just pause there real quick, and then we'll read the final two scriptures there. And the reason I want to put a pause on that is because when Jesus immediately said that the rains would come crashing down and you need to build your house on a rock, when you look in the Bible with the original Greek that it was written in, there's this word called wadi, W-A-D-I. And I actually have a picture, I believe, for you to see what the mental picture that everyone would have had in their head. So if you look at him, for those watching online, you can see this too. There's kind of that flat area that if I were going to ask you right now, where would you build a house? Would you build a house in that flat open plain so the kids can set up their soccer field, so you can have a place to park your car and your RVs, so you can have a nice beautiful backyard to have coffee in the morning on your swing? Look at that big beautiful opening. Or just to the right or left of it, there's hard rock that you would have to chisel out and build. Like initially, being a non-builder, I would think, I'm going to the flat area. But when he used the word wadi, here's what everyone knows in this time. The wadi was a dry riverbed. And I love when Jesus says, when the storms of life comes, not if, not potentially, not maybe, not perhaps. In your Christian faith, you should know this. When the storms of life hit you, that doesn't declare that there isn't a God. It proves that there was a God that warned you ahead of time. When the storms of life, ready for this? Your marriage is going to go through hard times. By the way, I noticed no married person said amen on that. You bunch of chickens, you know. But I'll say it, amen. There's time my wife doesn't behave exactly the way I want her to behave, and we fight. And then God decides to point out, hey, don't be laughing at me. You know this to be true. Men, if they behaved exactly the way we wanted them to, there would never be a fight. But the problem is, God didn't make her to be me. He made her to be her. And the funny thing is, if I behaved exactly like she wanted me to behave every time, I bet there wouldn't be a fight. But when your marriage... when your marriage, when your finances, when your work relationships, when health, when it comes, you should just know that if you decide to build in the safe place of the wadi, your house is going to be overthrown by water. But, and this is what Jesus is saying, if you choose to build the more difficult way, according to what I'm saying to you, if you apply the words that are coming out of my mouth, instead of taking the easy route and you take the right route, when the storm comes, you will actually be built on a foundation. And so he goes on to say, when Jesus finished saying these things in verse 28, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as someone, not just with authority, but taught as someone who told us how to do this thing we're supposed to do. Because all the Pharisees are like, listen, this is how you have to act, and this is how you have to walk, and this is how much you're allowed to walk on the Sabbath before it's considered work. And here's what you have to do for the poor. And it was all these rules and regulations, but there was never a why behind the what. And Jesus is coming to say the why. The why is so that your house, your life, your mindset, it can be built on solid rocks so that when life hits you with the storms of life, you will be safe from it. Maybe not safe. Maybe a better way to say it is, maybe the foundation and the belief that you have will be positioned to overcome versus being swallowed up by. And so today, when it comes to the Word of God, when you read it, the question we should always be asking ourselves is, how do we practically apply this? Because Jesus said, I need you to be salt and light to the earth. He didn't say, I need you to be salt and light on Sunday morning, show up 6 minutes early with proper Sunday attire on, and look the part during service while the worship team's going, and if you can throw out three amens to the pastor, that'll get you on his good side. It doesn't say that. You know what salt is all the time? Salt. Salt all the time. Salt is a preservative. We are here to preserve the world around us from the decay of humanity. You know what salt is? Salt is a flavor enhancer. We're supposed to take the gospel into the world and enhance the life around us, because what Jesus didn't say, be salt and light when it's convenient to you. You're just supposed to be salt and light all the time. And you know what feels really good when you're really angry? It's just to go ahead and let someone have it with your mouth and murder them with your tongue, because it makes you feel good on the inside. But what you don't know, it also deadens you on the inside. I actually got convicted a week and a half ago with the submarine thing that was happening. And those watching online, you may not know, there was a group in a submarine that went down to see the Titanic. And I was caught up in some jokes about it. And it dawned on me, hang on a second, I'm laughing at people losing their life. What is my tongue currently doing? You know, and I got convicted about that, because I'm not allowed to only be murderous when it's on my terms. No, I need to look at my tongue as life and death all the time. You know, and my wife, when it comes to my relationship with her, the best thing for me never to do is to look at any other female with the thought of, what if? What if? What if they bring me more happiness? You know what she did? She laughed when my wife doesn't laugh anymore. Well, I forget the fact that after 17 years, I'm not coming up with new material. Hang on. Why don't we pump the brakes just a minute on that amen? Good God. That whole sigh, there must be sister-in-laws over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, good God. But if all of a sudden she laughs and she listens to my story, somehow I forget that this wife that I love, who birthed 4 children for me, the girl can't laugh or jump in the trampoline anymore without tragic endings. Mom's, you with me? But all of a sudden, there's a 23-year-old looking at me without bladder problems. Well, wait. Hang on. No, hang on. You got to hear one. No, you got to. Hang on. I'm trying to do a good recording here for future use, so stick with. But if my eyes go those way, where does my heart go soon after? Because my eyes, it turns into thoughts, and those thoughts turn into imaginations. Imaginations turn into actions. Actions, you're like, oh my gosh, how did Pastor leave his wife? I can't believe it happened. No, what happened was, way back here, I chose to not practically apply the Word of God to my life. Amen. That's when it happened. We look at when it fell apart. God's going, listen, I don't even want to get on that road. And so today, when it comes to the Word of God in your life, I think you have to decide this. Are you here doing touch-up work on your soul? Or are you here saying that I'm a follower of Christ and I will reflect the teachings of my Savior? When we look back over time, people who practically apply the Bible to their life, and by the way, here's what this looks like, here's what this sounds like. If someone asks you a question, and by the way, my kids, I drive them nuts with this. They say, Dad, what do we think about this? And it usually starts with, well, when we look at the narrative of Abraham, when we look at the story of Adam and Eve, when we look at Joseph, when we get into the Word, not to tell the kids, we can't be telling our children what the stories are. We have to tell them how to practically apply why Daniel was in the lion's den. Oh, I don't believe Jonah was in a whale. Who cares? I don't care if you believe it or not. Use the narrative for what is the principle. And here's one of the principles. There will always be a boat available for you to run in another direction. You can't call it God. Well, but then a whale. Wait a second. Even in our foolishness, God prepares a way to get us back on track to the calling he has in our life. This is the principles behind it, not the stories attached to it. And so when it comes to your life today, are you here to gain more head knowledge and just be a theologian? Are you here to do some touch-up till you feel better, then you'll move on? Or are you here saying, God, I want to practically apply you to every aspect of my life that the Holy Spirit brings conviction and revelation on? And for those of you that are going to be in the faith for a long period of time and want to mature in Christ, I promise you this, one distinguishing mark for your growth will be that you practically applied the Bible to your life. Amen. So God, on this day, I ask you to apply all the chips that are in my life, that are in my drywall, that are on my trim work. Lord, let me see those and you tell me, am I touching it up? Am I replacing it? Or does this need a whole new coat of paint? And so God, I just thank you, Jesus, how simple you make it for us. But even though your words may be simple, this gospel is not simplistic. And even though these teachings are understandable, it doesn't mean they're always easy to apply. So God, in our life, help us apply this word to our life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome, awesome. Here's what I want to do. I want to just kind of head to the next thing. I can tell you this set of teachings, that, as always, they're going to be on the app. They're going to be on YouTube. You're going to want to go back and replay these. Every week as we go, I'm going to have a new, different tool that I want to point out to help understand what it is that we're saying. But here's what we're going to do now. This is when the party's ready to get started. We have a handful of people that are ready for water baptism. Come on now, come on. So parents and everyone, if you could just stay seated for 2 minutes, if I could invite the worship team to come back up here with me. If you are here and you are planning on being baptized and are part of our baptism candidates, Roy is over here going to wave his hand nice, loud, and proud. You got Roy. If I could get our baptism candidates, if I could get you to go ahead and start heading this way to Roy, he will take you where you need to go. We also have something exciting that we're doing today. We've talked about it out of our Holy Spirit 101 series. We believe that there are 3 baptisms here at the church. So for those of you who have no idea what's going on right now, this next 3 minutes is your theological teaching. Because by the way, Jesus is here for theology as well as practicality. So here it is. When Jesus came, he introduced 3 baptisms. Let me say it that way. The first baptism is a baptism of salvation. If you've ever said a prayer, if you've ever believed in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and you gave your life to him, that is your baptism by salvation. But then Jesus says, wait a second, the next thing, and you see this all throughout the New Testament, is it's time for you to be water baptized. This is where publicly you say to everybody, I am a new creation. I went down in the grave and I came back up. I went down in water dirty, came back up clean. And by the way, it has nothing to do with your external skin. This is that internal representation in an external way. So you have water, baptism of salvation. You have baptism by water. But then we believe at Navigation Church, as a Spirit-filled church, the third baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have been baptized, you came up, in this house of yours is ready for Jesus to live in, and guess what he does? He moves in. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we get empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do life. And we believe that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, things about your life changes. Here's one example. Your tongue changes. The way you talk begins to change. You should be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus and who he is on the earth. You should have a witness for it. That's a proof of the Holy Spirit. You can have the gift of tongues. That's praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. It's the grace that God gives us. Your tongue starts changing. But then, can I just tell you, it doesn't stop at your tongue. The Holy Spirit wants to work on our thinking. The Holy Spirit wants to work on our affections. The Holy Spirit wants to work on every aspect of our life. And so today I'm so excited. After our baptism candidates get baptized, they're immediately going to go to the back, and we have a team waiting for them to then lay hands on them and baptize them in the Spirit also. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to tell you about the baptism of salvation. You are a sinner. And I know it's not popular to say it that bluntly, but the fact is, you know that you fall short. You know that you come up empty sometimes. You know that you've done things in your past that you regret, that you have remorse, and you would do anything to take it back. That is what we consider a sin, missing the mark. And if you're here today, and if this is your last day on the earth, what's eternity look like for you? Do you know where you're going to spend all your remaining breaths after your last one here on earth runs out? Well, we believe by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord that you can be saved with his gift of salvation from the cross. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's as simple as believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And I don't have to lead you through a prayer, but I'd be more than happy to if you'd want me to. But here's what it is. It's, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. That's the most beautiful prayer. I want you to practically come into my life today. So if you're here today and that's a prayer you want to say, I invite you to say it.
Thanks again for joining us this week on the Navigation Church podcast. We hope this message strengthened and encouraged you in the next step of your journey. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And if you want more information about Navigation Church or wish to connect with us in more ways, visit navchurch.org, download the Nav app in your app or Google Play Store, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and even like the Navigation Church page on Facebook. And again, make sure and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a single message. For now, know Navigation Church is always here to help you discover and take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.